I believe you are happy to see the weather conditions around this 36th anniversary. The forecast was that it would rain heavily throughout the weekend because of the typhoon Gongrei, and it would rain until late afternoon on Saturday. But we have after Sunday service, we have outdoor events. We have a kind of a, something like a marketplace where you can have various foods, stuff, and we have outdoor events, so we can't change that if it was raining. If it were raining. And also, from 1 p.m. Saturday, we had to prepare for the outdoor events. And the rain that had been raining, coming down since Friday, dramatically stopped just before 1 p.m. yesterday, and the sky was cleared. And it was very cool weather, which was very good for preparing the events. Actually, there were forecasts that it would rain until Sunday, today. And it was changed that it would rain all throughout Saturday. Those who have faith, those who are experienced, they must have been comfortable. That they knew that the weather conditions would change in our favor. So by 1 p.m. yesterday, Saturday, the rain stopped and the sky was cleared. And it didn't rain, as a matter of fact. So there was no problem at all preparing for the Sunday events. And also the many of the food stuff is prepared on Saturday. So if it was hot, the food could go bad. But because of the cool weather, the food is okay. And we are having this cool weather. Actually, the weather forecast said that it was going to be a bit cold, but I felt it was warm today. I believe you felt the same. And let us give thanks and glory to God the Father who is blessing us, Manmin. Father God, thank you. Today it's the 36th anniversary of our church. I just talked about the weather conditions, and it was very good weather to prepare for the today's events yesterday. And God has been always with us. He has been always showing us that He has been. He is with us. So let us give all thanks and glory to God once again. He is showing the signs of His love for you, and I hope you will be filled with happiness and joy. God called us as members and flock of Manmin, flock of the shepherd. And let's share the grace and love of the Father God and move His heart throughout this day. Dear brothers and sisters, I believe we are passing through the most important time period since the opening of the church. In the book of Philippians, one of the letters that Paul wrote from the prison, chapter 1, verse 12 says, Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Paul was the greatest of the apostles. And even he was put in jail while he was preaching the gospel. And yet he was trying to strengthen the members, the believers, to reaffirm their faith. And while he was in prison, he said, "My circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." Also, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 says, "For which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal." But the word of God is not imprisoned. The enemy devil and Satan sometimes bring to men of God hardships and trials so that the gospel wouldn't be preached. Paul diligently spread the gospel to the Gentiles and the Jews. So because he was imprisoned, how could he preach the gospel? But he said, he suffered hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. The enemy devil tried to stop men of God by imprisoning him so that the gospel wouldn't be preached. But does that mean the work of God was not manifested? Of course not. All the believers who learned from the Apostle Paul, they received the chance to spread the gospel. So through the persecutions, they spread the gospel even more. The word of God is not imprisoned. The work of God is not stopped. It doesn't stop. Even if it seems like for a moment it is attacked, but it never stops. And all the plans and providence for this church will also be fulfilled. So on this anniversary day, let us remember the visions and dreams that God gave to us, which is that we have to become the best and greatest church that is acknowledged by God. This vision was proclaimed on the third anniversary of the church in 1985. And let us review what kind of improvements of gospel we have achieved so far and whether we have become the greatest, the best church. And it doesn't mean we are just telling ourselves that we are the best. It's of no use. God has to acknowledge us. God has to be able to praise us. So that's what we want to check, if God can really acknowledge us. And we will delve into what kind of church God acknowledges so that we meet the conditions and qualifications. I'm not just saying that we are the best without a reason. But we have the sample, the best example, the early church. So comparing ourselves with the early church, we would like to think about whether we have become like early church, the best church. And the standard is not the number of attendance or the size of the building, church building. God evaluates a church with the number of the wheat and not the chaff. Suppose there are so many people in attendance. They say they love God, they believe in God, and they praise God, and they say God is the Almighty, but when they go back home and when they go back to the world, they are no different from the unbelievers. So when the Lord comes back, the Lord will say, "I don't know you." So suppose most of them are like the chaff that can't be saved. Then how can God be pleased with a church just because there are so many attendants? So there has to be a great number of wheat that can be saved. So does that mean we don't have to have many members? Oh, it's Maybe it's going to be hard to make a lot of wheat when there are so many members. So does that mean we don't have to have, we mustn't have a lot of members? Of course we have. We have to have a lot of members. We have to save as many souls as possible. So there should be a lot of numbers. And also they have to become the wheat. So we have to be able to make even unbelievers make even unbelievers true believers. There are many branch church pastors, overseas missionaries, and also guests from other countries, pastors and leaders. And through this message, I hope you will be able to check whether your church is one that is acknowledged by God and how many wheat you have in your church. Spiritually, a wheat is the one who is he who accepts Jesus Christ, lives by the word of God, and is loved by God, who is recovering the lost image of God, a child of light. If they just come and go to and fro church, they are not wheat. They say, oh, I'm a Christian. When other people ask them what their religion is, they say, I'm a Christian. But if they don't believe, they don't live by the word of God, then it means they are not wheat. They can't be saved when the Lord comes back. They are only chaff. So the early church is for the whole church, but as for you individually, you have to check yourself individually, personally. Because each of you has to become the wheat for a church to have a lot of wheat. Oh, other than me, there are so many other people who love God, who live by the word of God, so it's okay for me to love the world? Of course not. So we can personally, through the message, check ourselves. So what were the believers in the early church like? They had true faith. Many of them saw the resurrection of the Lord. They had spiritual faith, which wouldn't change. What is the use of saying, I have true faith? It has to be acknowledged by God. So you shouldn't wait until God judges you at the final judgment, and because you might not receive salvation. You have to be checking yourself every day. In persecutions and hardships, you pray and you are faithful and you still believe in the providence of God. That's a wheat. That's what the early church members were like. Even in persecutions, even when they were being martyred, they still believed in the Lord and they chose death rather than denying the Lord and live. This is wheat. So what are the characteristics of the early church? First, they gathered together every day. Verse 46 of the passage says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. Taking their meals together, breaking bread from house to house and taking their meals together They may sound the same, but they're different. Breaking the bread means taking the word of God. Jesus referred to his body as the bread of life. So breaking bread means the word of life. And the taking meals together means they were actually sharing food. And they had fellowship with one another. So the members of the early church, they tried together and they worshiped God, worshiped the Lord. And they were always, there was joy all the time in those meetings. There has to be joy in those meetings. Just think about it. The early church members, they most of the times, they were persecuted. They had to hide. And they were always worried that somebody might make a report on them. They could be arrested. They could be martyred. So maybe after some time, so later, they had to gather. Hiding from the sight of the people. And yet they were filled with joy. So what about us? On Sundays, you attend the morning service, evening service, you stay in the church all day long. And then after Sunday evening service, you don't rush back home to take a rest. There are other meetings, maybe choir practices, other general meetings. And also, how do we end Sunday? We end a Sunday with the Daniel prayer meeting. Maybe at lunch you have a bowl of noodles. It's really nothing compared to the kind of food you can have outside. And yet you are still happy and you are filled with joy because you have fellowship with one another, with other believers, fellow believers. So not just Sunday, but even during the weekdays you gather all the time. Let me list out some of the meetings. On Monday, we have cell Bible study. Tuesday, we have a Tuesday prayer meeting for women. So they gather at each of the homes. And also Tuesday, they have praise and worship service. Wednesday, we have Wednesday service. And the Light and Salt Mission, they have a special Wednesday praise and worship at 9 p.m. Thursday, there are many women's mission meetings. And in the evening of Thursday, the men, they have cell group services in their parishes, in their homes. Friday night, there is a women's cell group service. And at night, there's Friday all-night service. And it lasts until 4 a.m. Saturday morning. On Saturday, the students, teenagers, they have a praise and worship service. And also, to prepare for Sunday, there is a cleaning of the church. I listed only the major meetings. Also, the women's mission members, women in parishes who are housewives, they have a lot of meetings for preaching and visiting the members. Men's mission members, men, they usually go out to support the family. And also, even while the teenagers, they go to school, whenever they have time, they pray and they work for God. And so you dedicate yourselves all the time. So does that mean we are taking a loss? Are we fools living in this way, in this modern world? We have to improve ourselves. We have to acquire more and more skill sets all the time. Maybe some newcomers, they would feel burdened that you have to dedicate everything to church. But it doesn't mean that. In case of new believers, you can just come on Sundays. But they are not forced to do so. You know, when they meet God, receive the Holy Spirit, when they actually meet the Lord, and they voluntarily and willingly they work faithfully for God's kingdom. We are just obeying the word of God, as Hebrews chapter 10 verse 29 says, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What is the day? The day of the Lord's coming back in the air, the day of judgment. On the back of the stage, we always have the picture of the Lord's coming back. So those who are good believers, they will be caught up into the air with the Lord, and the Lord will come with those who were already saved and dead, asleep. And this is a scene of meeting the Lord. And the Bible says, until the day, as the day draws near, we have to diligently assemble together. The Lord God doesn't tell us, you can just do whatever you want, but we have to gather together. Of course, we have to do our work. We have to do our duties in the world, but also to save as many souls as possible. We have to gather together and pray. Even the members of the early church, they also waited for the Lord. So we have to I hope you will encourage one another to gather together every day. Of course, it is important to gather together. But what is more important is the contents of the meeting. As in the early church, we have to have the thanksgiving and joy. We should be happy that we are blessed by the word of God, and we have to be thankful. But what if we talk about the worldly things, past judgment and condemnation, if we gossip, slander others? Is it acceptable? Of course not. So that kind of meeting is not a meeting where the Holy Spirit is with them. So that is not the kind of believers meeting. That's just a unbelievers meetings. When so many elders, senior deaconesses, leaders of the church gather and they talk about these worldly things and other things, then it's a worldly meeting. So that is not acceptable. That is not pleasing in the sight of God. So what they pray for in that meeting, of course, will not be answered. Nowadays, however, we don't talk only face-to-face. You can talk on the phone or you can chat on your mobile phones, smartphones, you can talk with your messages, text messages. So in every form of communication, we have to be pleasing in the sight of God. Let us check ourselves. Our meetings have to be pleasing in the sight of God. When two or three, five or six people gather in cell group meetings, small group meetings, in parish meetings, in what kind of meeting, no matter what kind of meeting it is, it has to be pleasing in the sight of God, which can be praised by God. It has to be edifying. It has to be about how we can change ourselves, we can improve ourselves more by the word of God, helping each other, encouraging each other in faith. What kind of conversations do you have nowadays? Because you have the campaign of reading the Bible, so you share the impressions that you had when God called Abraham. He was called at the age of 75. He obeyed without knowing where to go. And he went, And there was famine where he went, so he had to move again. He obeyed God, but there he didn't receive blessing immediately. But there was famine and he had to move again. What kind of heart did Abraham have? Did he wonder why he was not prosperous? Of course not. He didn't have any kind of doubt. He still believed in God. And he still just set out once again. He still had his trust in God. So you share this kind of impression. When reading about Joseph, you'll be filled with hope and joy comparing ourselves to the life of Joseph. When God worked in an instant, Joseph was established as the highest leader of Egypt, only second to the king, Pharaoh himself. So I believe you are having this kind of meeting. Manmin has been praying when they gathered and has been spreading the gospel when they scattered. So many of them received a lot of blessings. And we have a lot of testimonies. Our zeal for faith, sanctification didn't cool down. And I hope you will continue to do so. First characteristics of the early church, they gathered together, they diligently gathered together. Are we trying to gather together every day compared to early church? Do you think it's the same or more or less? We are doing gathering more than the early church. I believe the first criteria we pass. The second characteristics of the early church is that they concentrated on the word of God and prayer. First, Acts 2:42 says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Breaking bread, learning the word of God means they learned the way of the cross. How way of salvation is provided for by Jesus Christ. And they also learned the words of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus, they firsthand witnessed the ministry of Jesus. So these disciples, they taught other disciples, their disciples. So these disciples taught other disciples and members, laymen members, lay believers. So they taught everything about what Jesus did for 3 years and all the words of Jesus. So the believers in the early church, even though they didn't see Jesus in person, they loved him. At the time, they didn't have a Bible like today, but they listened to the teachings of the disciples and apostles, and they devoted themselves to prayer. So the power of God came upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. As a result, they showed the love of the Lord, and they had true faith, even to be martyred. Just with the word, you can't really increase your faith. There must be prayer. On this Sunday, you listen to the word of God and you receive a blessing and grace. But when you go back to the world, you forget the word and you don't have the strength to practice the word. You can't really practice the word of God only with your will. But if you pray, you can receive the grace and power of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. So you can practice the word of God. But without prayer, you can't live by the word of God. But the believers of the early church, they prayed. That is why they could overcome persecutions. What about our church? A senior pastor taught us the message of the cross, measure of faith, heaven, hell, which are the basic knowledge of Christian life. When we preach these messages to other countries, in pastors' conferences, And those who listen to those pastors who listen to this message, there are many church leaders, leaders of the pastors. There are also many pastors who study theology. And they say, this is very biblical. And it is in so much spiritual depth. And they are so amazed. Nobody says, oh, it's a bit different from the Bible. No, they acknowledge that there is power and authority in the Word. And it is biblical. And it is biblical. And yet, there are so many spiritual things that are explained that we can't really understand just if we read the Bible literally. So that is why there are so many pastors coming to the pastors' seminars. These teachings of the senior pastor, they are biblical. He didn't just interpret anything on his own. He read the Bible, whatever he couldn't understand, he wrote them down and he prayed about it. He prayed to God to explain them to them. And so he received them from the Father God. And these books are what he received. So there's nothing that is against the Bible. So all his books are based on the Bible and biblical. So, and pure spiritual words of God. And also, senior pastor advised us to read the Bible at least once a year and to memorize a verse every day. Right now, for 2 months, October and November, we have a campaign to concentrate on the Word of God, to read it within 2 months. And it's because it's to meditate on the Word of God day and night and to dwell in the Word of God. And those who are following, those who are reading the Bible, those who learn the Word of God, they would be able to receive blessings. And what about prayer? In our church, the flame of prayer has never been put out. We have Daniel prayer meeting every night. We have prayer devotees who are praying day and night every day, especially from tomorrow. The two-term continuous special Daniel prayer meeting will begin. And in every special Daniel prayer meeting, God has given us so many answers to so many believers. I hope you will participate, receive the answers to your heart's desires, and give glory to God. The importance of prayer cannot be overemphasized. Senior pastor talked about prayer as follows. If you pray for 1 hour, you'll receive blessings of health. If you pray for 2 hours, you'll receive blessings in your family, workplace, and your children. You'll be receiving God's protection. And if you concentrate on prayer, God will protect you with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with His blazing eyes. So the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot touch you with diseases or illnesses. God gives you strength to overcome the world. God gives you strength to overcome the devil. And He gives you strength to live in the truth, in the Word of God. Therefore, we have to pray. So He has set the good example of prayer before us. And also through the dedication of Mrs. Lee, president of a prayer center, we could pray continually. I hope if you find prayer hard, I hope you will participate in the special dinner prayer meeting and receive the power of prayer. The second characteristic of the early church, they concentrated on the Word of God and prayer. So compared to our church, how is it? Do we have a lot of Word of God and prayer? Do we pass? Amen. The third characteristics of the early church is that there were many signs and wonders through the apostles. Acts 2:43 says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. The members of the early church, of course, they were afraid of the persecutions. Sometimes Maybe an apostle was arrested. Maybe they were stoned. But even though they were persecuted, they were filled with joy because there were signs and wonders. And we are at so much more comfort than the members of the early church. We have freedom of religion here in this country. And God always shows us the evidence of His love. So we can always have happiness and joy in our Christian lives. But the believers of the early church, they were under hardship. And yet they were still filled with joy. And also we see so many signs and wonders. In the early church, not just the apostles, but also such deacons as Philip and Stephen, there were so many signs and wonders taking place. Mark 16:20 says, "And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them, not physically, but in spirit. The Lord died and rose again and ascended into heaven. And while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed." So that's how the ministry was carried out. The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't just work with them at the time of the early church. He still works with us if there is a man of God whom He can be with. He wants to work with us and show that He is alive. But there is few men of God. There are few men of God with whom He can be and use them. So He can show His signs and wonders. God doesn't write in the sky with fire that I am the Lord God Almighty, I am living and believe in me. No, He doesn't say that. He doesn't threaten us in this way. He works through the man of God. He shows His power through the man of God who are qualified to show the power of God. So the Bible, God wants to show Himself so much. In the Bible, we can see that. The first generation of the Exodus, God wanted to show Himself to them. And those people, they said, no, we don't want to see God because they were afraid. Because they were full of sins. They were afraid that God would speak to them directly. So they said, oh, only speak to Moses alone. God wants to show Himself to us. He wants to show His dignity, glory, and love to us directly. But He can't. He can do that only through the men of God. And who are these men of God who can do that? God doesn't pick sinners. God doesn't pick the arrogant, those who commit adultery. God doesn't pick those who commit sins. That never happens. God is not with sinners. He doesn't hear the prayers of sinners. He doesn't show Himself through sinners. He can show Himself only through the pure and holy vessels, holy men of God. At the time of the early church, He showed Himself through the apostles. And also people like Philip and Stephen. So because they were pure and they were, so God gave them power of God. And He wants to Himself to show His glory, reveal His glory through us. Mark 16:17 says, "These signs will accompany those who have believed." So when those who believe in God ask for it in prayer, it will be shown. So why Why is it that there has to be signs and wonders? There have to be signs and wonders. Because only after seeing these signs and wonders, people will believe. Without seeing signs and wonders, they simply will not believe. That is why Jesus said in John 4:48, unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. That was the case at the time of Jesus. And today, when the world is so full of sins, there is so much ideas that stand against God. There's so much knowledge that mislead people to not believe in God. There are so many pleasures that lead people to sins. And believing in invisible God, believing in afterlife and beating ourselves to make it obedient. So that is why we have to have the works of God that shatter the works of the thoughts and knowledge. And thankfully, even before the opening of the church, our senior pastor has been showing the power of God through signs and wonders. At the third anniversary, his senior pastor said, the number of the dead who came to our church and were revived in 3 years. Our church opened in 82, and the third anniversary was in 85. So in the third anniversary, senior pastor said, the number of the dead who came to our church and were revived, the number is 11. You watched Minsun Lee. She was poisoned with carbon monoxide gas poisoning. And she was practically dead. There was no way of recovering. But when senior pastor prayed for her, within a minute she could move. She woke up right away, and within a minute or two she could move. At that time we had coal briquettes in Korea for heating. And there were many people who were poisoned by carbon monoxide. And there were many people who were disabled. I had a classmate, a boy who had a low intellectual power, and it was because of a carbon monoxide gas poisoning. And in my case also, when I was seven, I had this carbon monoxide gas poisoning. And through the prayer of senior pastor, I didn't have any after effects. But when I went to school, I had a classmate who was like that, a boy. But so there were many practically dead people and were revived. 11 of them within 3 years. So when I remember, there was a child. On his way back home, he got hit by a car. And he was thrown away about 2 meters, maybe 6 feet. And he couldn't breathe. So the driver was, of course, so surprised, and they contacted the parents, and the driver was going to take him to the hospital. But the parents said if he goes to the hospital, he will die. So where do you want to go? So they said, we have to go to Manmin Church. The senior pastor was at the church. So the driver must have thought they were crazy. But because the parents insisted, he agreed. And so the boy was practically dead, and he was revived right after the prayer of the senior pastor. Other than these, there were so many healings of sicknesses and incurable diseases, innumerable. And also, for the last 36 years, we have been watching the controlling of the weather conditions, and the power has been only increasing year after year. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Because the world is so full of sins, in order to lead so many dying souls to salvation, there has to be signs and wonders. There have to be signs and wonders that confirm the word so that the people can believe and the faith can increase. And what about the ministry of the 36 years of Manmin's ministry? the power of God was manifested so much through the power or through the prayer of the senior pastor, and overflowing signs and wonders, even comparing with those of the early church. So do we pass the third criterion? Let us give all thanks and glory to God for blessing us. And the fourth characteristics of the early church was that they shared everything, every possession. Acts 2:44 says, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common." So they sold all their property and possessions and were sharing them all, sharing them with all. So they didn't just love their brothers in faith with words and tongue, but with their deeds. So that is why the early church is acknowledged by God. And senior pastor's goal has always been the early church. And we should have this kind of love and faith so that we can have rewards in heaven and we can receive more blessings on this earth as well. So at the time of the third anniversary, senior pastor said that we lacked in this criterion of helping the needy, sharing everything. And he said, we'll be so loved if we can do that, so loved by God. But there is an important thing to remember. How much money doesn't really matter, but we have to have the love of actually loving our brothers in faith. And senior pastor gave an allegory. And you might think, we know God is pleased with helping those who are in need. And you know very well we have been receiving blessings because Mamin Church has been helping those who are in need. And maybe you think, oh, I'm in a position to receive help and not help others. Right now, I can't really help others. Maybe if I receive more blessings, financial blessings, I will help others. But if you think in this way, listen to this advice of the senior pastor. Suppose you can eat. You're not really rich. You can't have everything you want. But you can at least feed yourself. But your neighbor, he cannot eat anything. Suppose your neighbor is in that kind of situation. If you really have love, you'd reduce the amount of food you eat and share it with your neighbor because he doesn't have anything to eat. You will reduce the amount of your food that you take and you will share it with your neighbor. So even then, if you can do it with joy, that is really true charitable work that can be acknowledged by God, then everybody can help others. If you reduce just a little bit of your spendings, you can help others. But there are, really, our church members, Manmin church members, who reduce their spendings and expenditures to help others. And the senior pastor is doing a lot of charitable work. First, it is food. So we provide rice. So we provide them with maybe 20 kilograms or for a single person, it can last a couple of months. If it is three, four people, we give them 20 kilograms every month. And also, they should be able to pay their bills. So we give them cash, about $200 of cash, so they can pay the bills. And also, senior pastor advised us to increase the amount when the financial blessing comes in. So we are helping about 920 families every month. And of course, they are always grateful. Sometimes they go out to sometimes eat in a meeting or something. You know, if they have remaining rice, they share it with other people. They some of them say they use it for the purpose of evangelism. You know, they actually win the souls. So according to the teaching of the Bible and the senior pastor, I'm very thankful that you church members are obeying these teachings of the Bible and the senior pastor's teaching. So the most important thing is your love for your neighbors, willing to reduce your own food to help others. Even today, senior pastor, right now, senior pastor is the one who helps, who does the most of the charitable work. So there are three major duties given to our church. One of them is the charitable work. And even if we didn't have so much, even at the time of the early church, I mean, right after we opened our church, we helped other churches. So senior pastor explained in this way, and he actually did it. He reduced his own expenditures to care for the church members and even for other churches. We were just opened. We had to pay the monthly rent every month. We had to worry about paying the monthly rent every month. And yet, we still helped those independent, churches that didn't become independent. So if you do that, you think if you keep on doing that, you reduce your food and help others, you'll have to keep on doing that for the rest of your life? Of course not. God will bless you so much. So you'll have so much abundance and wealth. And you will be able to help so many other people. Will God just leave you alone to reduce your food all the time? Of course not. God will give you so much blessing. That was the case with senior pastor. He always helped others, even when he was in difficulty. And that has been accumulated for so many years. And God has been blessing him so much. So he sometimes takes care of the 25% of the whole church budget. He does it personally. He gives to God so much because he receives so much blessing from God. And God gave him such tremendous power. So he heals so many sick people. He solves the problems of the people, business problems, family problems, other problems. So you're through his prayer, you receive the blessings and solutions, so you offer to him so that he can use it for charitable work, missionary work, and he gives to the church, and he lives for the glory of God. So it is a good cycle. When you give thanks offerings for his prayers, then he gives to God. So maybe you can give to God directly, but why do you give to senior pastor? And then he gives it to God, because it is a double blessing. Of course, you have to give tithe your to God, but because the senior pastor is, because you know his life. You know, for you, if you have the money, you'll spend for something else, some unnecessary things. But if you give to God and give to senior pastor with your love, with your thanksgiving, he uses for missionary works, charitable works, by giving to God and by giving. Did you become poor because you gave so much? Of course not. God is blessing you even more because you give more. And it's not just the size of the church that has been increasing. The quality of life of the church members has been increasing. The senior pastor has been praying that those who are living in a monthly rent, they can move up to the whole rent. And also later they can buy a house. Maybe later they should have a car, maybe a number of cars according to the number of the family members. So the wife can also use it when she visits the church members because he doesn't take care of himself at all. He only lives for God, God's glory, and God's kingdom, and for church members. And that is why the blessing of God came upon the church members as well. And this will continue. To wrap it up, let me list out the what kind of charitable work this church is doing. I once was in charge of the charitable work committee of the church. So we have the record. Since 1995 until today, for 24 years, the total amount is 25 billion dollars. And this is only official amount, not including senior pastor's personal charitable work. And nowadays, senior pastor has been helping the senior citizens who need a teeth implant. And the total amount was $500,000. And there is some welfare benefits from the government too. So we received from the government about $100,000. Senior pastor's personal amount was about $400,000. So we have provided tooth implant, dental implant to so many senior members. And they say they couldn't chew something hard, they couldn't eat any meat, but with the love of the senior pastor, now they can eat anything they want, any meat they want, and they are so thankful. And even today, even now, just before this, actually he said he would begin it when the financial blessing comes in, but he said we'll just start it anyway. So he gave the offering. So from 1997 to 2018, for 22 years, we've provided scholarships to 9,161 students in total. The total amount is maybe $2 million. So charitable work is the will of God, and we are obeying the will of God. So these fourth characteristics of the early church, so how is it compared to our church? Do you think we pass? Proverbs 11:25 says, "The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered." Proverbs 19:17 says, "One who is gracious to a poor man lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his good deed." I hope you will believe these words of blessing and help those in need and receive the blessings. Let me conclude the message. For this 36th anniversary, we have looked into the four characteristics of the early church. They gather together every day. They concentrated on the Word of God and prayer. And through the apostles, there were many signs and wonders. And they shared everything together. All their possessions. And as a result, as in Acts 2:47, even by the other people, unbelievers, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. At the third anniversary, Senior Pastor said, the early church is the best kind of church that God wants, and that is our goal. And since then, we've been running this march of faith. We've achieved revival. We've done a lot of missionary works. The size of the church has increased. And as we see, we have the characteristics of the early church. And now I want you to check yourselves at personal level. Because God counts only the number of wheat. And wheat cannot just be gained. And Senior Pastor has been doing all his best to make you into wheat. And so you should also try to become the wheat. Sometimes you go through storms, heavy rain, strong winds, sometimes diseases. So you can be wheat at the end. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 17 says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. So I hope you will all become the wheat. And Senior Pastor said, most of our church members, they have received the Holy Spirit, and most of you are wheat who try to live by the Word of God. There are only few chaff, and it is much more than any other mega-sized church. And it is like the early church. A couple of years ago, he said, all of you here are the ones who will go to New Jerusalem. He said with his faith, dear brothers and sisters, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And whatever we really hope for with faith, it'll become the substance. And we can become the fruit of the shepherd. Let us put on the full armor of God, fulfill the ministry given to our church at the end time. And when we stand before the Lord, we'll be able to be praised by God as good children, sons and daughters of God. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer. and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.